The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each week, we discuss talk from the most recent general conference of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's right. We'll share some insights, make some connections, and have a bit of fun as we study the words of the awesome men and women that God has called to bring to His church in the latter days. I'm Greg Tilton.
And I'm Meg Tilton, and this is episode 18, where we're talking about Elder Stevenson's address, Love, Share, and Invite. So here we are again, Greg.
Here we go.
We are going to talk about Elder Stevenson, who is a member of the Quorum of the Twelve, relatively new.
Elder Bednar still seems new to me.
He's not new.
He's not new at all.
He's like number six.
He's getting
line.
Close.
We are talking about his talk from General Conference today, and it is what the church is really kind of pushing lately: love, share, and invite. For those of you who are listening, you can't see, but we have our big standard poodle. He wants to be part of the conversation. So anyway.
Pouring in on the action.
Pouring in on the action. Okay. We thought this was an interesting talk, but it's actually a pretty straightforward talk. It's not like he's really introducing anything new.
Yeah. In fact, he makes a big, he comments on that. He says, this is not the next big thing, people. This is just a reiteration of what's been talking about for a long time.
I mean, but he does say, you know, it says in here, interestingly, it wasn't only the apostles who took Jesus' words to heart. Members of the early church, from the newest to the most seasoned, took part in the Savior's Great Commission, sharing the good news of the gospel with those they met and knew. The determination to share their testimony of Jesus Christ helped his newly established church grow expansively. And I think that that's interesting because we see that again when the church was first established with Joseph Smith. You know, all of the converts that came into the church in England really grew the church, you know. And so, and it wasn't just the apostles and the brethren that were the, you know, driving factors for the growth of the church and for the church moving forward, but it was all the saints, you know, from the newest to the most seasoned that took part in that. So I always think it's interesting, you know, I teach seminary and we've been studying the Old Testament, and you see patterns, and I think that's another pattern, right? Like where it takes many people to kind of have a great thing come about. So
yeah, no, absolutely. The 12 people that were at the head of the church, well, they didn't have to, 12 people already owned the church, but yeah, this is not driven by the force of just a few people. Yeah, you know, I read, one of my favorite books is the biography of Elder Woodruff by Matthew Calley. And man, you read the stuff that Brother Woodruff did. This is before he was called as a, and he was just a priest, I think, even. He might have been an elder. I guess he was called as an elder. He went on lots of missions. You know, this is before, long before he was a member of the 12. And it's just remarkable reading that stuff. I mean, when you read, you're like, man, this guy is capable of anything. And in the strangest, weirdest, most difficult circumstances, you know, he would have these really remarkable missionary experiences. You ever read, like, his experience in the Fox Islands when he went to teach, which is off the coast, I think, of Newfoundland. It's just, yeah, remarkable. The amount of faith that they had and the courage, I think, is the main thing, to just do what needed to be done. So I look at my own efforts as a, I'm air-quoting, member missionary right now. I'm like, man. I don't think I would even get an eye roll from Elder Woodruff, you know, like, really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think it's, the unfortunate thing is that we look back on history and you can see how everything played out. So it's a little bit of an illusion, I think, of what we think they were really going through. Because we're like, oh, well, yeah, it was hard. But then look, they got like 1,000 baptisms. Like, that's awesome. But they didn't know that at the time.
They didn't know that.
Like, they didn't go into it knowing I'm going to get 1,000 baptisms, or I'm going to have all this success. Like, that's not what they did. And so I think sometimes it can be like, oh, well, they're different than we are, but they really aren't, you know, like they didn't know the outcomes of going out and loving and sharing and inviting people to be part of the gospel. Just like, we can't ever know that. Now, having served a mission myself, and it was not an easy mission, you know, I served in Korea, but I really did come to realize on my mission pretty early on, which was probably a good thing, that I was not really on my mission to convert people. I mean, that is the point and what we're striving for and the, what we're working towards. But I really do feel that missionaries go out and they are put in those situations more for their own development than anybody else's. And I think that the same principle is true here of what he's talking about, love, share, and invite. Yes, we're doing it with the hopes that somebody who wants to learn more about the gospel will have that chance. But ultimately, I really do feel like Heavenly Father asks us to do those things to change us, you know, more than anybody else.
No, that's a good point. I think probably most commandments that he gives are guaranteed to provide more blessings for those people that obey them than anybody else, right? So tithing, all that stuff. It's like, if I do all the stuff himself, if he really wanted to, I mean, I think about it all the time as far as young missionaries, like you're putting the future of the church in the hands of the ones that are most unlikely to be carrying the message. You know what I mean? It's it's kind of genius in some ways, and in another way, it's completely crazy. Like, why would you trust all these very young people to carry the message? But that's just how he's chosen to do it. So, and maybe just maybe a reiteration that he doesn't, you know, he qualifies the messenger. He does. We don't have to be. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be anything, really. You just have to be willing. That's really what he's asking for, is willingness to do it. So that's good news, because I'm neither eloquent nor anything, really. And sometimes having a hard time finding the willingness to do that, which is good reading this talk, because it kind of talks about that very
So. Yeah, and I think, too, I think that's it's an important thing to remember that, you know, if you don't get the success that you think that you, quote-unquote, should be, that it doesn't mean that anything has gone wrong, because we tend to tell the success stories of, oh, it was the last door that I knocked, and that was the person that ended up, you know, joining the church. But I'm like, but how many stories are out there where they knocked all the doors and nobody did it, you know? And it's really about you having that willingness to share love and invite and come into that. Like, so we had a family goal, how many years ago?
Oh gosh, at least a decade ago. Oh man.
You can tell Greg is bemoaning what happened here. But we as a family had a goal to try and find somebody to bring to church, wasn't it? Was that the goal?
I actually don't know what the goal was. I don't know.
It was some missionary goal. And so, as is per usual in our marriage, I come up with these brilliant ideas, and then I require Greg to enact the ideas.
Execute
the plan. So I come up with the plan, Greg executes the plan. So my plan was, we were getting like down to like the last weekend before our goal was supposed to be met. And I was like, okay, I think that we as a family should go knock doors in our neighborhood. You can tell what Greg thought of that idea.
I remember this comment. I remember exactly where we were. I remember where the car, we were driving in the car on the way home, and you said, basically, we should go track down our neighborhood. And I thought, you know, I tracked it a lot of places when I was on my mission. I'm kind of done doing that. That doesn't seem like a good idea at all.
Yeah, so we compromised, and we went tracking. And what was that experience like?
You know, we did it more than once. The first time was amazing, actually. It was really, it had been a while. And since I did all the talking, I remember this quite well. Yeah, we didn't have any, it was a great experience. We made it maybe halfway down one of our streets and ended up talking to three different families. In fact, I was a little surprised. One family invited us right in, and then we hadn't even told them. We just told them we were their neighbors, and we were driving by, and like, yeah, come on in. So we went in, and they were excited to see us. I think when we kind of pulled out the pamphlet, they were less excited. Once we but still, it was like, man, wow, people. It was just a really cool experience. We had some really good discussions too with people. Yeah. I still go by that one guy's house and go, hey, that's where Will lives. Like, that was a decade ago when he introduced himself, and I still remember his name and where he lives.
We did find, though, that if you take little kids with you, people are less likely to slam the door in your face. We're like, oh, maybe that's what missionaries should do, is take little kids along. And maybe, people wouldn't.
Do we have a dog, too?
I don't think we took our dog. No. Yeah, but that might be another end. But yeah, most people were actually much more open and kind than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
And I was...
They were that day. We did it several times. It wasn't always like that. There were other days I remember where I was like, oh, this is not quite as a receptive crowd, or this day didn't go the same as yours. So.
Yeah, we didn't have like one of those miraculous, like, okay, this is the last door we're going to knock on. But I do remember that there was a family from our neighborhood that ended up showing up in church the next week.
It was like three doors down from where we stopped, right?
Yeah. And she was a member and her husband was not. And they ended up coming back to church. Unfortunately, they got divorced, but she ended up, her kids got baptized. And, you know, it was just interesting, like, okay, well, maybe that was a blessing of us putting forth that effort, you know, like Holy Father knew, you know, we didn't know what door, but maybe that spirit was put out there. And yeah, so we have a funny family story about baptism.
I forgot about that until you brought up this recently.
Yeah. So if you're looking for ways to love, share, and invite, make some cookies, go start knocking on your neighbor's doors. So, and I think the thing that's really awesome, that this kind of goes along with what we did as a family, but he talks about this, like, we don't have to make missionary work complicated. We kind of did that. That was kind of outside of our norm, but he's saying you don't really have to do that. You just live your life in the way that you are and don't censor how you talk, what you're talking about, like bring the church and your testimony into just the way that you talk about life. And, you know, we live in the Midwest, we live in St. Louis, and that is one thing that I have really noticed about our evangelical friends, or even people just who seem to live and be more evangelical, is that they talk about God and Jesus like it's so normal. Yeah. Everybody just is like, yeah, this is how it is.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I think that oftentimes we are a little bit more reserved about that in the church.
Uh-huh.
And, but I'm never off put by what they say. I'm always like, oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of a building a bridge there. And I think that that's also a really important thing to remember, is that, you know, we think the baptism is the goal, but I think it's more a unity in purpose and a unity in feelings and intentions that we can like bridge with people of other religions and find the commonality there.
Yeah, sure. I think there's a lot to be learned from people that have, you know, people of faith from other faith traditions. I mean, there's no corner on the market on goodness necessarily within the church. Jesus Christ will already say there's great people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Elder Stevenson says, whenever we show Christ-like love toward our neighbor, we preach the gospel. And I think, yeah, that's how you can best preach, is just to be loving and kind. And I think that that's really awesome. So,
you know what I like under his share portion is the, so that was the love part. Under the share part, just the thing that struck me was, you know, to share your positive experiences with the gospel. I think that's what he said. By sharing our positive experiences in the gospel with others, we take part in fulfilling the Savior's great commission. That made me pause from going, huh, great experiences within the gospel. Like, how do I define my experience in the gospel? What are the great things? So I was thinking, I had a couple thoughts on that. One for me is freedom. Like, I haven't experimented very much with trying not to live the gospel, but those, you know, whatever small experiments they are, have always been disastrous. You know what I mean? So, you know, living in the gospel provides so much freedom that otherwise would be, you know, inaccessible for me. Anyway, I can't speak for other people, but I have a very good feeling that one of the things the gospel does is keep me free from a lot of just other stuff that would make life just miserable. You know, so there's that. So freedom, and then I can point to pieces of joy. You know, I think that like our ability as a married couple, you know, you and I, our ability to kind of work things out, that foundation we have in the gospel is key to just being able to get through tough times and to just understand that this is an eternal family. It's going to be okay. Sometimes it's going to be tough. Sometimes, you know, Megan laughs because she was trying to convince me before we got married that sometimes, you know, marriage is not always going to be perfect. I had this vision, I guess, that marriage should absolute bliss all the time, and she assured me that that's not like that, and that's normal. So I have now internalized that and I'm teaching that back to her. So anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you know, that foundation of the gospel helps keep our family in a state that's you know, people can enjoy and love being part of our family and being together.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of things that I experienced as part of joy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just thinking as you said that, you know, we read often in the Book of Mormon about Nephi and Lehi and their vision, you know, the tree of life. And they say, you know, people grasp onto the iron rod. The iron rod was sure and true. Like, and I just feel like there's so much in the world today that is not sure and not true and not grounded. And, you know, I've had a lot of friends recently leave the church. And it's interesting in having some of the conversations with them because they go from having all of this knowledge to like very little knowledge of really knowing what they're really sure of. And I think it's so interesting that you would walk away from something that's so sure and true for something that you can't, like a mist of darkness where you don't know where you are, where you're searching and nothing is leading you anywhere. And I think that that goes along with what you've said, like, that is what the gospel is, kind of that grounding force in everything that you do in your life. It brings you back to center, you know, like you can kind of, you know, get off the beaten path a little bit, but if you're still holding on, it will, you know, bring you back. Yeah. And that's a more secure place to be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, and I think living the gospel provides you with the opportunities for shots at real joy. You know, being a member of the church is no, you know, it's not a free ticket to an easy lifestyle by any means. You know, nobody would argue all church members have it easy under any conditions. But still, you know, living the gospel gives, in my opinion, gives you the biggest probability of being able to live in a way that's, you're going to have access to those connection with our Heavenly Father and a life that is going to be rich with opportunities to bless other people's lives, to raise a family in a way that's going to, you know, people will, are going to grow, and they're going to, you know, they're going to grow closer to their family. I don't know. I guess I'm just not articulating it, but trying to live a different way and living outside of the gospel is just fraught with so many great ways to screw everything and cause just a ton of misery.
Yeah. And I think that that brings up a point that we kind of discussed before we started recording of what really joy is, because we say we want to share the joy of the gospel with other people. And I'm like, but people sometimes come into the gospel thinking, oh, that means that I'm not going to have any heartache or any pain or go through anything difficult. And in some ways, sometimes it means almost the opposite. Like, you are going to have a lot of heartache. You are going to have a lot of pain because, you know, your family members, your friends are going to reject you. Things will happen because of your membership in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is it that you're really trying to anchor into? And what is that joy of the gospel that, you know, is, I don't know really what the word is, but it's like, it has nothing to do with the circumstances of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, and that might be something everybody's got to answer for themselves. You know, I mean, what is that thing that is, that is giving you joy from living the gospel? I think we all need to be prepared to, you know, somebody, I remember having this conversation when I was going on my mission. This guy, I was working with this guy at a golf course. And he was like, okay, so let me get this straight. You're gone for 2 years, and you're not going to do this, that, or the other thing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, that's basically it. He's like, why? You know? And I remember at the time, this was before my mission, I didn't have not have a great answer, you know? At the time, I was like, well, I just, looking back, I would have said, man, this provides such a basis for living. Truth aside, just the teaching of the gospel provides a basis for living that's going to provide you with so much greater happiness and freedom and security. Gospel included, you know, this is true. We're getting ready for the second coming of Christ. You know, we're, mm-hmm. He's coming back. This is not a social club that I'm recruiting members for. Mm-hmm. This is not it. We are actually building the kingdom of God. So with him at the helm, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that may be part of what the joy of the gospel is the much bigger picture that the gospel gives you. Like, yeah. That it's not, you know, this mortal existence is not just to be waded through and, you know, survived, but there's a bigger purpose on the other side of it. That while we don't know a lot, we do know a lot more than some people, most people, about that we're here to become like our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. And we're here to be in families forever and to build relationships and, become like God. And if you really contemplate what that means and what we know about God, like, why wouldn't you want to be sharing that with everybody? And I think that's one of the great messages of the Book of Mormon too, is like when you read the Book of Mormon and you hear people talking, you read these stories of these people who are like, we'll do anything. Like once they had that and they knew the truth of it, they were willing to sacrifice and put forth whatever effort they could to hold that in their life as well as share it with other people. So,
yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah. Okay, anything else?
Maybe last thing, you know, so in the invite piece, in fact, even in the share piece too, he put a lot of emphasis on use of social media, you know, all of his examples. And I think he was trying to emphasize easy and natural ways of sharing the gospel. I don't know if he's necessarily saying, this is the new frontier. Like, y'all need to get an Instagram account and start using that as a missionary tool. I just think he was trying to emphasize, you know, this is not something you don't need to go tracking. The Tiltons do not define how members do missionary work, you know. So whatever you're doing, wherever you are, do that, you know, but stand as a witness at all times, all places, and all. So it doesn't have to be in the governor, you know, at the governor's mansion, you know, protesting or something like that. It's really within whatever channels you're in. That's where you are. So, and maybe last thing, you know, you are the message. So, you know, do those things. I'm talking to myself. I need to do those things that will help me to be the message, you know, whatever that is, because all the pretty words in the world do not have the converting power to help somebody change their life. It just doesn't work. But experience in living the gospel, experience in, reaping blessings from living the gospel, that is what really helps people see, hey, this is something that I want. So, something I guess I've tried to internalize recently is, you know, you and me, we are the message. It's not the words, it's who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. I was just listening to the All In podcast that LDS Living puts on, and Morgan Jones Pearson, whatever her name is, she's married, was interviewing this man who is from Brazil, and he started a school teaching English, and he started to give pass along cards to people at classes, and then they had a website, and he got this idea to have a pop up on the website to have a pass along card on the website of his English school, right? Mm-hmm. And then he was able to work with the church's missionary department, and they were able to basically set up their own hotline that was connected to that specific website so they could track it. And I think it was something like 4,000 people a month, or maybe 4,000 people a year, or some, like a pretty large number, were getting pass along cards and having the missionaries come to their house and give them Book of Mormons. And he was just using his business. You know, he wasn't like shoving it in front of people's faces and screaming it. It was just there, you know, as part of his website, but that was part of who he was. Like, Like, I own this business, but this is also part of who I am.
I see.
Yeah. And I just thought it was really cool how he was able to use his business to spread the gospel as well. So, yeah. So there's all different ways. You don't have to tract, like Greg said. But if you have little kids and cookies, it might get you somewhere.
It was a great experience. Yeah. I'll just say I'm terrified of that kind of cold call type stuff. So it was a growing experience. So if you want a growing experience, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. So it's just, be yourself. Just love people. Share what you're doing in your life. Don't censor it. And then invite and feel when you have that prompting to do that. All right. Well, thanks for listening with us today.
Thanks for listening to this episode and another episode of the Conference Life Podcast. This episode, we discussed Elder Stevenson's address, Love, Share, and Invite.
If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you get podcasts. You can find links to all our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org.
Conferencetalk.org is also where you can follow us on social media, drop us a comment, check out the show notes, find the resources we mentioned in the episodes, and learn more about us, your hosts.
And if you want to follow me, Meg Tilton, you can find me on Instagram at Meg Tilton Coaching, or you can go to my website at MegTiltonCoaching.com.
If you want to find me, you're in trouble, because I don't have social media platforms. But if you really want to talk to me, you can always talk to me.
But after this talk, you're going to come.
Well,
maybe.
I'm not sure. Like I said, I don't think Elder Stevenson's telling me I need a social media account. So I might find other ways of inviting.
We always appreciate new followers. It's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves.
Although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions.
So please join us next week for some more personal opinions on the Conference Talk Podcast.